Shame might be the reason that you've stopped pursuing God, but here's the truth. You're not unworthy. Well, truthfully, we're all terribly unworthy. But God loves us, chose us. Jesus died for us. Therefore, we are worthy. So if you're feeling unworthy, join the club. It's pretty big.
Hello, you tuned in for a sermon from one of our preaching team here at C3 Church Victory. We're a home for hope located in Newcastle, Australia, but you can connect with us online wherever you are. Head to our website, c3victory.org.au, for more info.
We're in a series called The Invitation, and who is loving this series? We have had some incredible words from our preaching team. Amazing, love it. Really good journey so far. It's been so good in our relationship with God, right? There's lots of tables we've been talking about, tables through Scripture. And the tables in Scripture represent relationship. They represent relaxing with people. Who likes to relax with others and chill out? You know those safe people that don't require a lot from you? It's so good to relax with them. I love it. So good. I like to eat as well. I love what Pastor Simo said, like eating is holy. Like when I went to Mr. Sister, eating is worship, he said. When I went to Mr. Sister with my wife yesterday and had one of their cheese sticks, dear Lord, I was worshiping. It was amazing. So good. Well, this is Palm Sunday right now. It's 1 week out from Easter Sunday. And who's been following along with the YouVersion Bible reading plan, 21 days of Seek? Put your hand up if you're following along. Yeah, great. Now leave your hand up if you're up to date. Not me. Falling behind, Pastor D. Get on with it. Anyway, it's all good. And I can't wait for Good Friday services, Easter Sunday services. Just invite humans. Invite real people. Letterbox drop if you need to, fantastic. But invite real people. They're gonna love it. It's gonna be really awesome. I love it. So good. Hey, quite a few years ago, I worked for a service department up in Raymond Terrace. You know, where people come and book their cars in and, you know, you take their keys and do all kinds of stuff. And I would, and it was my job to fix everything except for the cars. No idea what I was doing out in the workshop. All the mechanics would fix the cars, but Darren would get lumped with every other job to fix. Hey, I need you to fix the internet. Can you fix the link between head office and here? There's a computer over there. This person's got an issue. I'm like, great. This isn't even my job, but I'm just fixing stuff, right? And so one day they said, I need you to fix the FPOS machine. Cool, no worries, walking over, there's a few people hanging around waiting to pay. We're like, yeah, great, great, great. Darren's over here, you know, trying to fix the FPOS machine, all good. Now, a bit of backstory, because what had happened a few weeks beforehand is Darren got powerfully filled with the Holy Spirit. And I mean, on the floor, crying, like the Holy Spirit had hit me like a Mack truck, and I was laughing and crying, and this gift of tongues felt like it had been stored up within me for like decades, and it all started to come out. And I had the most powerful experience of God in my life ever. Blew my mind. Oh my goodness, what is happening? Now, Darren's still working out when to pray in tongues and when not to pray in tongues. So Darren's over trying to fix this stupid FPOS machine. Have you tried turning it off and on again? Well, yes, I have. You know, like I'm doing everything. Disconnect, reconnect, turn it off. You know, try and reset the settings. Eventually, I just kind of blurted out, maybe under my breath, I can't really remember, but it was like a whole little blah, shock on my head. Oh boy. And I'm looking around, a little bit embarrassed. None of the customers were there. They'd all gone back down to wait in the foyer. And I'm really hoping none of my colleagues heard what just happened. Slightly embarrassing. But Darren was still trying to work out how this new level of God worked in his world. How this new level, this new depth this new type of relationship with God, how it all panned out. Hadn't worked out that, you know, you shouldn't just blurt out in tongues in the middle of your workplace. Might be a bit odd for those around you. But I really believe that God on this Palm Sunday, and for you guys watching online as well, I really believe that God has prepared for you a new level of depth in your relationship with Him. I'm so excited for this word for you because it's Palm Sunday. And I believe that He's going to call us to lay some things down so that we can welcome Jesus into our lives at a whole new level today. So if you've got your Bibles there, Mark 11. Mark chapter 11, the first 11 verses. I just love it how things work out. Mark 11, verse 1 to 11. It says, it's on the screen. Yes, it is. And if you've got your paper Bible, you'll have to be fast. If you've got your phone out, you probably already beat me. Mark 11, verse 1. As they approached Jerusalem, Jesus is approaching Jerusalem. He's going to go and get crucified. He knows that as he moves towards Jerusalem, some big things are about to take place. This is towards the end. As they approached Jerusalem and came to Bethphage and Bethany, the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two of his disciples, saying to them, "Go to the village ahead of you, and just as you enter it, you'll find a colt tied there, which no one has ever ridden. Untie it and bring it here, and if anyone asks you, 'What are you doing? Why are you doing this?' say, 'The Lord needs it, and we'll send it back here shortly.'" Now, I don't think you can use that like expression just in everyday language. You know, like if your colleague has a larger monitor than yours and you steal it, what are you doing? The Lord needs it. And I'll bring it back. You know, like when you forget your lunch and you're browsing the work, I do this sometimes. If I forget my lunch, I'm just browsing the work fridge. Yeah. What's actually on offer here today, you know? And you start warming up somebody else's lunch. Hey, what are you doing? The Lord needs it. And I'll bring it back to you shortly. Anyway, they went and found a colt outside on the street, tied at a doorway. And as they untied it, some people standing there asked, "What are you doing untying that colt?" They answered just as Jesus told them to, and the people let them go. See, it works every time. When they brought the colt to Jesus and threw their cloaks over it, he sat on it. Many people spread their cloaks on the road, while others spread branches they had cut in the fields. Those who went ahead and those who followed shouted, "Hosanna." That's a Hebrew word that means save. "Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the coming kingdom of our father David." Can you imagine the scene? Can you imagine people, this crowds, you know, "Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." People are shouting, "Save, save, Hosanna." Incredible moment. "Hosanna in the highest heaven." Jesus entered Jerusalem, went into the temple courts. He looked around at everything, and since it was already late, went out to Bethany with the 12. Let's pray. God, I just want to pray quickly for two things. That you would give us ears to hear what you're saying, and you'd give us courage to respond to you today. Give us the courage and the ears so that today we can have breakthrough and we can walk in freedom. In Jesus' name, amen. Cool, so this is Palm Sunday, this day. And what we just read was what happened on the first Palm Sunday. Pretty cool, right? Love it. It's 1 week out from Easter Sunday, and Jesus rides into Jerusalem on a colt, a young male donkey. That's what a colt is. I had to look it up, all right? And then people start taking off their outer garments. They start taking off their cloak and putting it on the ground for the colt, the donkey to walk on. Now, I've got some pretty nice super dry jackets, right? They're really good. I'm not sure if I'm willing to lay them down on the ground, on the dusty ground, for a donkey to tread on them. But this is what they did. This was the custom in Israel, right? If you go to 2 Kings chapter 9, verse 13, right? I memorized that so I look good, right? If you go to 2 Kings 9, verse 13, that's how they welcomed King Jehu, or whatever his name is, right? That's the king, and they're all laying their cloaks on the ground so that the king riding the donkey can come in and be welcomed by the people. This is how they welcomed King Jesus. Love it. What are you prepared to lay down today to welcome Jesus into your life at a new level? To walk in an even closer relationship with him? What are you prepared to lay down? Or maybe more importantly, what is the Holy Spirit speaking to you about? Asking you to lay down so that you can walk in greater relationship with him. If you're writing notes, write this one down. Number one, I've only got 2 points today. I know, it's weird, but I'll really make the second point extended, like really, really drawn out for you so that it makes up the difference, don't worry. Salvation creates a real relationship. Like surrender and sacrifice, it's normal in the kingdom of God. Don't be shocked when God asks you to lay something down, to surrender something. I remember being shocked so often in my life. I'm still a little bit shocked. I'm like, sorry, what? You want me to lay that down? Yeah, but I like that. That's kind of fun. That's cool. God's like, lay it down. Okay. Oh, that's right. Surrender is normal. Yeah, cool. Great. Laying things down begins at salvation. The life of continually receiving Jesus as King, it starts the moment we get saved. And it doesn't stop. We lay our sin before him, we lay our lives down before him, and we receive his forgiveness, we receive hope, we receive eternal life, and we receive this incredible thing called relationship with God. And then we soon learn after a while that God's not just meant to be an add-on. He's not just meant to be some little extra thing that I've added to my life. He's not like, you know, this little friend over the side shouting encouragement. You can do it, Darren. That's not God. He actually asked me to lay my life down for him. There's a full surrender. It's full sacrifice. That's what's normal. Jesus said, those who lose their lives for my sake will find it. That's the way to get eternal fulfillment and fullness. There you go. I just blended those words together. I'm just trying to shorten the time frame a little bit. And all of this is around relationship with him. Not, we're brought into relationship. We're not brought into religious activity to try and make God happy. Oh, I hope that this is enough. It's a relationship with God lived in continual response to the mercy, the kindness, the grace of God towards us. The whole life is a response to his grace. And it's a genuine, real relationship. We're going to dive in a little bit to that because it functions in so many ways like the other relationships that we have. It requires time and effort and energy and focus and attention, conversation, listening. There's a lot of elements to our walk with God that reflects our human relationships. Here's the kicker. And I didn't like it when I first heard someone say this, but I'm going to tell you. Just so that you can benefit from it as well. You're as close to God as you want to be. Because he's not the one holding back. He's not the one going, we'll see. I find that whenever I'm not as close to God as I want to be, God's keen and I'm holding back. I'm not ready to let something be surrendered to him. I'm not ready to deal with that. I'm not ready to walk that way or surrender or sacrifice. Beck and I, we get to travel a bit. It's incredible. It's awesome. We love it. We get to travel Australia and speak on marriage and talk to people about marriage and sex. And it's awesome. I love it. It's amazing. It's an honor. It's a privilege. Thank you. Awesome. I love teaching and preaching on marriage. It's fantastic. Marriage is a close relationship. It's designed to be close and deep and fulfilling. If yours is not, talk to me, talk to us. We can help you there. And there's a lot of correlations between a close, meaningful relationship. You can have friendships that are like that as well, of course. And our relationship with God. So I want to show you a little bit. Let's not put the screen up just yet. I want to show you a little bit as to how I think relationships work. Because I think that there's some similarities for how human relationships work and how our relationship with God works. Because all of us are wired for intimacy. We are created for intimacy with people, for intimacy with our spouse. And intimacy is closeness, and emotional intimacy is powerful. It's what we're created for. Because what happens is I'm opening myself up and I'm letting you see what is happening on the inside of me. It's into me, see. It's an easy way to remember intimacy. But there's a journey towards intimacy with God. There's a journey towards intimacy with friends or your spouse. And it's a journey of depth. We often talk about going deeper with God. Let's go deeper. Press in. Come on, right? We talk about that all the time. And I'm like, what does that mean? What does it mean? So here's my answer to you. Ready? Let's put that up on screen. This is how I think relationships work. And you can see it's like a cutaway kind of piece of the soil. And you've got connection, safety, vulnerability, intimacy. And you can see that line is going further and further down towards someone's heart. The closer the relationship, the quicker you can move through these levels. Like if you've got a really strong relationship with God, you can go straight to the place of intimacy. It's incredible. But I often find that there's things that happen in my life that keep me shallow, that keep me on the surface. And this is why it's hard to have meaningful church relationships if you just come to service every Sunday. Because 5 minutes before a service and 15 minutes after a service are not really enough to pull you through these to a place where you feel strongly, closely connected to people. This is why table spaces are important. This is why camp is fantastic. Camp is like an injection of relational, you know, input, a deposit into our church. All right, let's just quickly talk through. Because at the top, we have connection. Connection is like a bit surface level when you come to church and you're like, hey, how was your week? Hey, good to see you. Ah, so good, right? Connection with your wife or your spouse might be, hey, how you doing? How'd you sleep? What are you doing today? Blah, blah, blah. Like it's surface level. Connection with God. It might start a bit like that. It's like, there's this thing going on today. Kind of love it if you'd help out with that. That'd be like super cool. Hey, thank you. Yeah, cool. You're awesome. Yeah. Cool. Right? We all start by connecting with people and connecting with God in conversation. And it starts out pretty shallow. And I think shallow gets a bit of a bad rap. Right? I think shallow's okay. Shallow's a good place to start. Just like don't live there, right? But then in meaningful relationships, this connection that's on the surface, this connection opens up levels of safety. It creates this sense that we're safe right now. The person's making eye contact. They're not distracted by everything that's going on around them. They're not checking their phone all the time. They're not, you know, walking around or looking around. And you start to get a sense that they're into this, that they're accepting you. They're listening. You're like, oh. And you start to get this sense where you feel like you can share something that's a little bit deeper, something that's going on, something that's happening in your world. And this happens with God as well, because as we connect with Him, we get this, we can, hopefully this is you as well, but you can get this immediate sense of, I'm safe here. I'm secure. The Father loves me. Oh man, this is so good. His presence is here, and there's His love and His acceptance, and I feel like I could share what's truly happening in me. And sometimes we play the card that, well, God knows everything anyway. And yeah, He does know what's going on in your heart. He does know what's happening in your life, but He wants you to connect with Him through that thing anyway. And so as we get this sense of safety, this is where vulnerability begins to happen. We feel the safety that we need to share what's going on. And then ask God, kind of would love some wisdom for that thing. And if you could just fix that, that'd be really cool. And I need your love for this person because they're really driving me crazy. And need some comfort or some power. See, here's the problem. In our modern day world, we often are so busy and distracted that we stay on the surface. That our time with God is just connection. It's just, hey, how you doing? Yeah, cool. Oh, I've got this other thing to do. I've got to go and do this thing, you know? Distraction and hurry are constant battles for me. I need to do something more important. There's a thing I've got to do, you know? Pull out my phone to read, you know, the 21 Days of Sig reading plan, you know? And I'm doing the thing that that's pretty good. Yeah, wow, that's really great. And then I pray the little prayer at the end, and then 10 minutes later, I've just spent 10 minutes on Instagram. Is that you? Anyone else? Anyone else? You're like, yeah, I kind of do that. Do you get lost in your phone? My phone talks to me from the other room. It's like, hey, Darren, you don't know everything that happened in the basketball game yesterday. You should probably check Twitter now. Oh, I should. That's true. And I probably got an email. I probably need to check my emails for the third time this morning. It's 7 a.m., Darren. Right? The thing is, I don't trust myself with my phone and Jesus. So it stays in the other room. Until, you know, Pastor Nate says, we're going to do a Bible reading plan. I'm like, cool. Here comes the phone back into Darren's quiet time. My phone keeps me shallow with Jesus and I don't like it. There are so many things you can do to stay connected to God. Pray in the tongues in the shower. Pray in tongues in the shower. Like, talk to God in the car. Worship. You know, connect in the mornings. Connect at night. Connect over the day. Like, there's so many great things that we can do just to maintain connection with God so that we are in this constant state of talking with Him. But I don't want to stay surface level. We're invited to go deeper. There's a few things that we can do to help us to go a little bit deeper. Number two, if you're writing notes, write this down. More depth means greater vulnerability. Here's the thing. Jesus didn't die for you to be stuck in a shallow relationship with God. When Jesus died, the curtain that separated the Holy of Holies from the rest of the world, this place where the pure presence of God was located, where the high priest, after doing all these rituals and ceremonies, could only enter once a year to seek and see and feel and know God. The curtain torn in two from top to bottom, letting the Holy Spirit out and letting us in. Pastor Jez, a few weeks ago, preached this incredible message. It was so good, on the woman in Luke 7 who walks into a dinner party with Jesus and some Pharisees, and she just starts crying. She sees Jesus and she's just overwhelmed with who He is and her own sin, and she just loses it. She loses it. She's weeping so much. There are so many tears that she has enough to wash His feet. That's a lot of crying. You know, if I get a little bit teary in the front row, I'm like, you know, I remember being at Powerhouse Church last year and they're singing this song and I'm like, this is awesome. Oh my goodness, I'm in. And I'm crying and I'm like, pull it together, man. You're about to get up and preach. Like if I, you know, we cry and we go, oh no, I'm good. Let it out. She's like crying. She is weeping. She dries his feet with her hair and then pours a jar of alabaster, like an alabaster jar of perfume over his feet. Incredible. She's being extremely vulnerable in that moment. She's aware of her sin. And through this encounter, she receives acceptance. She receives forgiveness. You might want to write this down. Vulnerability opens the door to closeness. And without it, you're stuck in shallowness. If you never get to that place where you're able to open your heart to a person or to God, you're just going to be stuck in that shallow place all the time. So it's Palm Sunday. What do you need to lay down before God to move into like a new level of depth of closeness with Him? I got three things for us to think about today, and I'm really running out of time. But to be truly vulnerable with God means that we need to be real and authentic with Him. To be like, God, what's in the way right here? And there's so many things we could talk about, apathy, and we talked about complacency earlier and boredom and old habits that are stale and don't contribute to our walk with God anymore. How about I just like really quickly mention two things and then we'll dive into one thing and land there. Is that all right? Awesome. First mention, religious activity. Doing things for the sake of doing them where they don't have any contribution to your walk with Jesus at all or to your relationship with God at all. Yep, I read my Bible today and I prayed for 15 people and 18 situations. Good Christian. Great, but did you connect with God? Did you experience His closeness? Did you pause for long enough to let the chaos of your soul subside to the level where you can hear His voice? No, got on with the job? I'm a good Christian. Well, welcome to shallow Christianity. It's not very fulfilling, but you're probably still gonna get into heaven. Ouch. Second mention, distraction. And we talked about this. You genuinely want to connect with God, but the timing maybe of your devotional life means you continually get interrupted by children. Hey, mom, I want this. Hey, dad. Oh, dude, yeah, hang on. Just pause for a moment, God, because I got to deal with some ironing of kids' clothes, of school clothes. Like if I start my devotions a little bit too late in the morning, I'm ironing, I'm dropping kids to work and kids to the bus stop, and then it is out the door. The rest of the morning routine comes in and I'm off to work. And I'm like, guess I'm going to have to talk to you during the day. Or, you know, back to the phone debacle. The phone is like distraction city. Maybe you like, you need to check those scores. Maybe you've been playing Words to Go with your auntie in Tamworth and she's so annoying because she beats you every time. So you get up and you're like, yeah. Connect with Jesus first. I leave my phone stays in the bedroom with the white noise machine playing, or it's in the kitchen on charge. And if it enters the zone of Darren's devotions, it's gonna distract me to no end. So it's gotta stay out of the room and out of visual sight. That's how connected we are to our phones these days. One thing though that you might connect with this morning is something that I think affects every believer at some point. And it's something that will make you feel unworthy and you will slowly withdraw from God and withdraw from people. And that is shame. I just want to talk about shame for a couple of minutes. Shame is this feeling of like embarrassment when I haven't met the bar, or I made God a promise, or I'm still stuck in that sin, or I can't resolve this thing in my soul. Shame is when you've done something terrible. But it's more than guilt. Guilt is helpful. Shame is harmful. Guilt makes me want to get in and resolve the problem. Make me say sorry to that person. Make me repair the relationship or say sorry to God. Guilt is helpful. It helps us to reflect on what happened. But guilt is when I did a bad thing. Shame is when I am a bad person. Shame is not helpful. Brené Brown says this. She says, I define shame as the intensely painful feeling or experience of believing that we are flawed and therefore unworthy of love and belonging. Whenever you feel unworthy of God's love, affection, attention, maybe this is going on with you. Maybe it's because the enemy has sown a seed of shame. And the problem with shame is that we get stuck. Shame is like quicksand to the spirit. Back to 21 days of Seek, day 5. This is what was in there, blew my mind. It said this, shame is ultimately the fear of rejection manifesting itself. Shame is when I project God's rejection onto myself. I misappropriate the love of God. I'm misunderstanding the grace of God. And I'm letting this thing tell me that I'm unworthy of His love. So why would I pursue Him? Why would I run after Him? Why would I be a man that seeks after God when I think He's gonna reject me anyway? And the truth is, if there's shame in our souls, we cut off the pursuit. Husbands do this all the time. We say something or we do something or, you know, we say something or we do something wrong to our wives. And now instead of repairing and moving on, we just feel like we're terrible. And if that sets in and becomes normal, we stop the pursuit. I don't know how many times I've had to deal with shame on my side of the marriage because I've realized I've stopped pursuing her. Husbands, the pursuit never ends. Wives, the pursuit never ends. Just keep pursuing each other. Shame forgets the depths of God's love. Shame is a liar. Shame forgets the cross. Shame forgets the cross that paid for every sin, the cross that makes you holy, the cross that invites you into His family, the cross that allows you to be adopted as a son or a daughter. Shame might be the reason that you've stopped pursuing God, but here's the truth, and we'll land on this. You're not unworthy because God chose you and Jesus died for you, making you worthy. You're not unworthy. Well, truthfully, we're all terribly unworthy. But God loves us, chose us. Jesus died for us. Therefore, we are worthy. So if you're feeling unworthy, join the club. It's pretty big. But then remember the truth. Don't forget the truth of His love for you. And know that you won't be rejected. Jesus said, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. The end of Matthew 28, He says, surely I'm with you always to the very end of the age. He's not going to abandon you. You won't be rejected. God loves you. He accepts you. He desires you. He pursues you. He welcomes you. He wants you. He wants deep friendship and closeness with you. He's not satisfied with shallow. He's invited you to know Him, to walk with Him, to hear His voice, to have Scripture leap off the page and transform your life. God loves you. Jesus didn't die so you could just have a mediocre faith that feels shallow and unfulfilling all the time. Jesus died so you could walk into the throne room of God and receive His kindness and His mercy, because He is there. Because He's present.
Thanks for listening. If today's message really spoke to you and you would like to talk to someone about it, why don't you head to our website, c3victory.org.au, to connect with our team. You can also find us and reach out on Instagram, Facebook, YouTube, and the YouVersion Bible Reading app. We'll see you next week.